Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, presenting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. There's comedy in this hour. Later on, Fibber McGee and Molly from 1944. But first, the Jack Benny Show, where Jack goes to the movies. A CBS broadcast from June 7th, 1954.
Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, last night was a big night in Hollywood. The occasion was a special showing of Sam Goldwyn's Academy Award-winning classic, The Best Years of Our Lives, which is currently being reissued. Naturally, all the important stars in Hollywood received invitations to attend this gala affair. And while all this was going on, where was our little star?
Rochester, hand me my pajamas. I'm going to bed. Just turn out the light and I'll go to sleep.
Don't you want me to read to you like I always do?
Well, yes. Pick up one of those trade papers, either the Variety or the Reporter or the Wall Street Journal.
Okay, I'll read Variety.
Okay.
Now, let's see. Say, boss, look what it says.
What?
Tonight at the Academy Theater, there will be a special showing of Sam Goldwyn's Best Years of Our Lives.
I know. It's a reissue, I know.
It says all the big stars in Hollywood have been invited to attend.
Yes, I know.
Didn't they mail you an invitation?
Well, frankly, I don't know whether they did or not. Anyway, who wants to go to those special Hollywood showings? You always see the same people. Lauren Bacall will be there with Humphrey Bogart. June Allison will be there with Dick Powell. Zsa Zsa Gabor will be there with Jerry Giesler. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not going. But, gee, I've known Sam Goldwyn so long, I can't understand why he didn't invite me.
Yeah, he can't have anything against you. You never made a picture for him.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. If I got a phone call right now inviting me, I wouldn't even... I'll get it. Hello?
Is this Sam's Meat Market?
No, it isn't.
Who was it, boss?
Some guy wanted Sam's Meat Market.
Sam's Meat Market? That's the new place down on the corner. They're having a big opening tonight.
They are?
Didn't you get an invitation to that either?
I wouldn't go if I did. Rochester, I'm going to bed, so turn out the light. I got it. Hello?
Hello, Jack. This is Mary.
Oh, hello, Mary.
I'm glad I caught you. I thought maybe you'd already left to see the special showing of Best Years of Our Lives.
No, Mary, I was supposed to go, but I don't know. When you've been a star as long as I have, you don't get excited about those things.
Gee, and I thought we could go together.
No, Mary, I'm ready for bed.
Oh, that's too bad. I have two tickets.
What? What'd you say, Mary? What'd you say?
I said I got two tickets to the picture.
Mary, just because you got invited, you don't have to be so nervous about it. Look, I was ready for bed, but I wouldn't let you down. So while I get dressed, you jump in the cab and pick me up in 10 minutes.
Okay, Jack. I may be a few minutes late. I want to stop off at the florist and get a corsage.
Oh, good, good. While you're there, get one for yourself, too. I mean, come over as soon as you can. Goodbye. Hey, Rochester. Rochester, I'm going to the opening.
I knew Sam wouldn't let you down.
Not the meat market. Stop jabbering and help me dress.
Hello, Jack. The door was open, so I came right in.
Oh, hello, Bob.
You going somewhere?
Oh, yeah. I promised Mary I'd take her to a special showing of the Best Years of Our Lives. Now, pardon me while I get dressed.
Well, I'll help you, Jack. While you're putting on your shirt, I'll button your shoes.
Thanks. Oh, Rochester, hand me my wing collar, will you, please?
Yes, sir. Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
You wear a size 15 and a half collar, and this is only a size 14.
Oh, that's all right. We can make it work. Put it on.
Okay. Here's the collar button. Now, hold still. Boy, this collar's really stiff. Just a minute now.
I guess it's all right, but it's so tight I can hardly... Oh, darn it. It slipped off the collar button. Try it again, Rochester.
Boss, this collar's pretty tight for you.
Well, pull it harder.
I'm getting it. Hold still. There.
Gosh, the collar's so tight I can hardly breathe. Bob, how do I look?
Like Herbert Hoover with a sunburn.
Don't be so funny. All I have to do is snap on this bow tie, and I'll be on my... Darn it, there it goes again. Rochester, where's my bow tie?
It went out the window and headed for Capistrano.
Well, get me another one.
Say, Jack, do you mind if I turn on the radio while you're getting dressed?
No, go ahead, Bob. Let's see. I think I better get a fresh handkerchief. Hey, that's a pretty catchy tune there.
Yeah. Funny coincidence, Jack, but I just did this song on my TV show this afternoon.
Gee, it's a shame I missed it. I'd like to have heard it.
Well, I can sing it for you right now.
Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Heart of my heart, I love that melody. Heart of my heart brings back a memory. When we were kids on the corner of the street,
we were rough and ready guys, but oh, how we could harmonize. Remember,
heart of my heart, meant friends were dearer then. Too bad we had to part. I know if you would listen, if once more I could listen
to that gang that sang heart of my heart.
When we were kids on the corner of the street,
we were rough and ready guys, but oh, how we could harmonize. Remember,
heart of my heart, meant friends were dearer then. Too bad we had to part. I know a tear would glisten if once more I could listen
to that gang that sang heart of my heart, heart of my heart, and to that gang that sang heart of my heart, heart of my heart.
That was a nice song, Bob.
Well, guys, thank you, Jack. I think I better be running along.
Well, so long.
Well, by the way, Jack, if you're not going anyplace else after the show, why don't you take Mary down to the Cinegrill where Frankie Ramley's band is?
No, I think I'll be too tired.
Oh, well, I'll be going over there tonight, and we might have a lot of laughs. I'll bet that Mary would enjoy it.
Probably, Bob, but she ought to get to bed early, too. After all, we have a rehearsal tomorrow and a hard day ahead of us, and we all ought to get a good night's sleep.
Well, okay, but... Well, the only reason I mentioned it is because the manager of the Roosevelt Hotel called me, and he said that since Frank Remley works on your program, he'd like to have us all as his guests.
Oh. Well, make sure you get us a ringside table. I'll see you later. Hey, that must be Mary. Coming, Mary. See you later, Bob. Hey, this must be the theater. The Best Years of Our Lives, starring Frederick March, Myrna Loy, Dana Andrews, and Teresa Wright. Look at all the lights.
There you are, folks, the Academy Theater.
Come on, Mary. How much is that, driver?
$1.60.
Oh, darn it.
Jack, what happened?
Nothing. Here you are, driver. Keep the change.
Thanks.
Jack, fix your collar.
I'm trying to, but darn it, I've lost my bow tie.
No, you haven't. They've got the searchlight on. It'll be down in a minute.
Oh, yeah, here it comes. There, I got it. Now, wait till I fix my collar. There, come on, Mary, let's go in. Gosh, look, all of us big stars are here. Come on, hurry.
Hold your own invitations, please. You spectators, stand back. Let them in.
How do you do, Mr. Gable? Good evening, Mr. Taylor. How do you do, Miss Colbert? How do you do, Mr. Stewart? How do you do, Miss Livingston?
I told you spectators to stand back.
I'm with her!
Oh, well then, go right in, mister.
Mister. Doesn't even know I'm Jack Benny.
Well, don't tell him, and he'll have something to look forward to.
What?
Come on, Jack. Hurry. The lights are starting to dim.
Okay. Hey, Mary, here are two, right in this row. A little more than halfway in. Two seats there. Follow me.
Pardon me.
Oh, darn it, there's only one seat. We'll have to go back. Pardon me.
Jack, come back. You went out the exit.
Oh, yes. Here we are, Mary. Here are two seats on the aisle.
Good, and we're just in time. The picture's just about to begin. Gee, that was a wonderful picture.
Yeah, but what a crowd. Hurry, Mary, or we'll never get out of the lobby.
All right. Gosh, I really enjoyed that picture, Jack. And what a wonderful cast.
I agree with you. Only I couldn't exactly accept Frederick March's conception of the husband. I personally would have done it differently.
Jack, look. There's Sam Goldwyn coming towards us.
Where? Oh, yes.
Hello, Mr. Goldwyn.
Hello, Mary.
Gee, it's nice seeing you.
Thanks. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
You know, Mr. Goldwyn, I was absolutely thrilled with that picture. I thought it was just wonderful.
Well, thanks, Mary. What did you think about it, Jack?
Oh, I thought it was fine, excellent. But I was just telling Mary that the part that Frederick March played was almost unnatural for me.
Jack!
It's funny. You should mention it. Jack, you know when I was casting the picture, I thought about you for that role.
You did?
Yes. But then I realized the part called for someone older than 39.
Sakes, then why didn't you call me? You know what a liar I am. After all, the picture was made 7 years ago. I was older then. I mean, younger. I'm all mixed up.
Well, Jack, I'll keep you in mind for my future pictures.
Well, thank you, Mr. Goldwyn. Remember, you know, I'm quite versatile. I'm not just a comedian. You see, I'm a dramatic actor, too. Listen to this. Hamlet's soliloquy.
Jack, please, not on the street.
Quiet, Mary. Mr. Goldwyn wants to hear this. To be or not to be, that is the question. whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrage. Oh, there goes my collar again. Where's my bow tie?
I swallowed it.
No, no, Mr. Goldman. Here's my tie on the sidewalk. Excuse me a minute. Where's my collar button?
I swallowed it. Fellow, something.
Stop. Stop worrying about Mr. Goldman. It's nothing serious. I've got another one in my pocket.
Say, Mr. Goldman, Jack and I are going over to the Cinegrill for some dinner and a cocktail. How about joining us?
Oh, I'd love to, Mary. But I've got another big opening tonight.
Another picture?
No, Sam's Meat Market.
Sam's Meat Market?
Yes, I own that too. And that television can't hurt.
Come on, Mr. Golden. Why don't you join us? We'll have some fun.
Well,
certainly. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Goldman, you and Mary can be my guests.
Your guests?
Yes, I'll pay for everything.
Mary, we better go. This will be the best year of our lives.
Yeah. Come on, let's go.
Jack, ask the waiter to get us a table.
I don't have to. Bob Crosby said he'd get me a... Oh, there he is, right over by the orchestra. Follow me, Mary, Mr. Goldman.
Hi, Jack. Mary.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bob. I'd like you to meet my friend, Sam Goldman. Mr. Goldman, this is Bob Crosby.
Well, I'm pleased to know you, Mr. Goldman.
Crosby? That name is familiar. Oh, yes. You have a nephew named Gary, haven't you?
Yes, come on, let's get seated.
Gee, the place is kind of crowded tonight. Remley really packs them in, doesn't he?
You're darn right. Well, let's get some food. I'll call the waiter. And remember, kids, you're my guest tonight, so order anything you want. A waiter! Waiter!
Yeah!
We'd like to order some food. May I have a menu, please?
Here you are.
Thank you. Now, let's see. Hey, wait a minute. The prices are all scratched off my menu. Who did that?
I did. I hate suicide.
Never mind.
Well, I know what I want. I'll have a Caesar salad, lobster a la Newberg, and broccoli.
Yes, madam.
And I'll have a minute steak rare, some French fried potatoes, and coffee.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to have, Mr. Goldman?
I'll just have a glass of milk.
Are you sure you don't want anything to eat?
No, I'm not very hungry. I just had a collar button.
Waiter, Mr. Goldman, he'll just have a glass of milk.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but I can't serve milk at this table.
Why not?
It's too close to the orchestra. It'll make them sick. Well, I'll go get those orders.
Wait a minute. You haven't taken my order yet.
Oh, yes. What do you have, stranger in paradise?
I'll have the potage du jour et salade avec roquefort et la bouffe bordelais et pomme de terre.
Well, get him.
Never mind. Just bring what I order. And we'd also like some champagne with our dinner.
What kind?
I don't know. What would you suggest?
Well, when it comes to champagne, I always say, mum's the word.
Waiter, that's a pretty corny joke.
Well, what did you expect for $35 a week, Martin and Lewis?
Never mind the wisecracks. You ought to pay a little more attention to your job. Some waiter. Look at this tablecloth and napkin. I've never seen such dirty linen.
Well, you do them for us, Wong Fu.
Look, waiter, never mind the impertinence. Just bring us our dinner and give me the check.
Okay, but you'll hate yourself in the morning.
None of your business. Now go get our food.
Okay, just lower your voice.
Mr. Goldwyn, Mr. Goldwyn, you can come out from under the table. People have stopped staring.
Now, let's all have a pleasant evening. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Ah, that food was really delicious.
Yeah, I enjoyed mine, too.
Anything else? Dessert? Some champagne, Mr. Goldwyn?
No, thanks, Jack.
Hey, will there be anything else?
No, thanks.
Well, here's your check.
Waiter, come here a minute.
You what?
We're not supposed to get any check. We're guests of the management, see?
I'm sorry. I don't know anything about that. The check is $35.60.
Look, I'm telling you, we were invited here by the management.
I'm sorry, but I've heard that one before.
Look, do you think I'd tell you that if it weren't true? I'm Jack Benny.
I don't care if you're King Farouk.
What?
I got a check here for $35.60, and you're going to pay it.
I'm not going to pay it.
Jack, for heaven's sake, you're creating a scene. Why don't you pay the check?
You keep out of this, Mary. Now, waiter, get me the manager.
The manager has gone home.
Well, get me someone. I'm not going to pay this check.
Jack, please, this is embarrassing.
You keep out of this, too. You invite me to your preview, and then you come in here and stuff yourself at my expense. To you.
All I had was a glass of milk.
I don't care what you had. Let Frederick Marsh pay for it. And let me tell you another thing. Oh, darn it. There it goes again.
Mr. Goldwyn, Mr. Goldwyn, what's the matter?
I just had dessert.
The Jack Benny Show on Tuned 2 yesterday from June 7th, 1954 on CBS. The movie referenced on The Benny Show, The Best Years of Our Lives, was released in 1946 and won a staggering 4 Oscars at the Academy Awards, including Best Picture. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up next, Fibber McGee and Molly. And speaking of the movies, a reference to their movie called Heavenly Days is in this next episode, which was released earlier in that year. This broadcast called Duck Hunting with Doc from NBC from October 31st, 1944.
With high purpose and integrity, and relying upon the guidance of the God of all of us, we can save freedom in America and go forward once again. I think. To New York.
Governor Dewey spoke tonight from Buffalo, New York. His speech will be rebroadcast over another network tomorrow at 12:30 p.m., one half hour afternoon Eastern wartime. No matter what New Deal adherents have to say, your vote is your own. If you are registered as a Democrat, that makes no difference. In the privacy of the voting booth, you can cast your vote as you please. Tomorrow night, Governor Dewey will speak from Boston at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Wartime and Saturday night in Madison Square Garden at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Wartime, both over this network and other networks. Don't forget to listen to Governor Dewey tomorrow, Wednesday night, at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Wartime.
Time for the presentation of Governor Thomas E. Dewey, Republican presidential nominee, was purchased by the Republican National Committee. The Mole Mystery Theater, usually broadcast at 9 p.m. Eastern Wartime over most of these stations, was canceled this evening. This is the National Broadcasting Company. The Johnson
program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax for Home and Industry present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. One reason they call this time of year the duck season is that when you turn certain people loose with a shotgun, everybody had better. Not to mention names, listen to a mighty hunter sounding off as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Ah, the thrill of it. Crouching down in the blind, waiting for him to sweep over your head. And then the thunder of wings, and you raise your gun. Bang, bang, bang. I got him. Bang, bang. Look out. There goes one to the right. Bang.
Oh, for goodness sakes, dearie. Put down that broomstick before you break every lamp in the house.
I'm sorry I busted it. But by George, if that lamp had been a duck, I'd have got it right through the white meat.
You realize what you just did, dearie?
Sure, I busted the lamp. So what?
Well, you broke that lamp that you won at the fairgrounds, throwing darts at the balloon. And now you'll have to think up something else to give Aunt Sarah for Christmas.
My gosh. And I'll never again be able to get anything so horrible so cheap.
I think you have the wrong attitude about Aunt Sarah, McGee. After all, she's the closest relative I have.
She's the closest relative anybody ever has. Why, that poor old Bermuda, she goes around all winter with chapped knuckles because she ain't open-handed enough to get her gloves on. What you think about that?
I prefer to change the subject.
Okay.
What time are you going duck hunting in the morning?
What time am I going? You're going, too. You promise?
Oh, now, McGee, just because in a moment of weakness...
Now. No welching, baby. Come on, Molly. It'll be fun. Just you and me. And Doc Gamble.
How on earth did you get the doctor to go? Blackmail or bribery?
Why, Doc loves to go duck hunting. He says as a member of the medical association, it's his duty to take a crack at a quack.
How about shells? I thought shotgun shells were frozen.
Well, they melted a few for the hunting season. I found 3 boxes of them. And the main thing is, I found the ideal spot to shoot from. Nobody knows about it but me. I made a private vicar with the guy that owns the property to keep everybody out but my party.
Oh, and where is this happy, I hope, hunting ground?
Shut the door.
What?
Shut the door.
All right. Oh, stop looking under the davenport. There's nobody here but us.
You don't seem to realize what it means to find an absolutely untapped hunting ground. I know guys that would stop at nothing to find this place.
Shall I go over the walls for hidden dictaphones?
Might not be a ver... No, no. Nobody but I and the farmer and Doc knows what I know, see?
Well, where is it? Where is it?
It's at the North Fork of Sweeney Swamp.
Sweeney Swamp?
You betcha. I paid Sweeney $5 for the exclusive use of it this year. And I gave him a handful of cigars to seal the bargain.
Your own cigars?
Certainly.
Then I'd want to go. By now, it's enemy territory.
Oh, come on, Molly. Don't you think every wife ought to be a pal to her husband?
Well, as I recall, duck hunting was not mentioned in the marriage ceremony.
Well, doggone it, the ducks bring their wives.
Well, that does it. I'll go. When do we start?
Doc's picking us up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
3 o'clock in the morning? Heavenly day. It takes an early worm to get the bird, doesn't it?
We leave here at 3. That gets us out to Sweeney Swamp and all set up by 5, see?
Wait a minute. I haven't got a hunting license.
Well, you can get one next year. You come along this time and see how it's done. I'll take you skeet shooting next summer and learn you how to handle a shotgun.
What's it doing, dearie?
Huh?
I won't shoot anything I can't eat. And I never ate a skeet in my life.
Look, Molly, a skeet is just a hunk of clay.
Aren't we all?
Well, what I'm... Hey, where'd I put my duck call?
Your what?
My duck call that I carved out of a turkey bone. Or was it a turkey call I carved out of a duck bone? No, it was a duck call I carved out of a turkey bone. I wonder... Oh, here it is.
What on earth do you use that for?
It's the call the ducks with. It lures them in. They think it's the mating call of another duck, you see. and they swoop down to pitch a little woo. Listen.
Well, if that's a mating call and I was a duck, I'd stay a bachelor.
A little out of practice. Listen to this.
Heavenly days, you got one.
Come in.
Oh, hello, Alice. You didn't have to knock.
Well, I heard a funny noise and I thought maybe somebody was sick. Hiya, pup.
That noise was a duck call, Alice. Theoretically, it does to a duck what sheer stockings, baby talk, and Chanel number 5 does to a man. It comes under the heading of love is a funny thing.
But what do you use this duck call for?
We're going hunting in the morning, Alice. Ever do any shooting?
No, but I had an uncle out west that was always shooting somebody.
Mm.
He was my mother's brother and our only outlaw in-law.
An outlaw in-law? Who did he shoot?
Well, he shot a dentist, for one. The dentist overcharged him, and our outlaw in-law said it was too much outlay for an inlay and gave him a lead filling.
Your uncle was probably just high strung, Alice.
Oh, he was. 10 minutes after they caught him.
Well, I hope we won't disturb you when we leave in the morning, Alice. We're getting up at 3.
Oh, don't worry about that, Mrs. McGee. I sleep like a log.
So does McGee. Like a log going through a sawmill.
Don't tell me you're staying home tonight, Alice. What's the matter? Our phone out of order?
Oh, no, but this is my night to write letters to the servicemen.
What do you mean, your night?
Oh, well, us girls at the airplane plant formed a club to write to all the soldiers and sailors and Marines we know. We call it the G.I. Hope He'll Answer It Club.
What do you do, Alice? Just give the boys the local chit-chat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just tell them about what's going on, what plays and movies are playing the theaters and so on. Mm-hmm. Like about yesterday, I saw a cute movie at the Bijou. They call it Heavenly Days.
Oh? Mm.
How'd you like the leading man, Alice?
Oh, he was cute, but he made an awful droop of himself in the picture. I thought I'd die when he got thrown out of the Senate and went, oh, but I'd better not tell you. You might want to see it.
Yeah. We probably will, 6 or 7 times.
And the man's wife in the picture looked a lot like you, Mrs. McGee.
Oh?
As a matter of fact, now that I think of it, they were using your names. Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Can you sue them for that?
Oh, I suppose we could, Alice. But it might deprive millions of people of the joy and happiness and excitement and amusement of seeing the picture.
End of advertisement.
What, Mrs. McGee?
Never mind, Alice. I think that letter-writing club of yours is a wonderful idea. The only thing a soldier likes better than male is female.
Yes, and you know what our club motto is?
What, Alice?
Write to a serviceman. One little letter can change his cares to a caress. Well, good hunting, Pop.
Billy Mills and the orchestra play How Many Hearts Have You Broken? Thank you.
better get going to bed now, McGee.
Now, you go ahead. I'll be up as soon as I check this equipment. Now, let me see. My shooting jacket, looking glass, 3 boxes of shells, mosquito lotion.
What's the string on your finger for?
Huh? Oh, my gosh. That was to remind me to... Now, what was that on my finger to remind me?
Lunch?
Nope. You was already fixing that.
Hip boots?
No. No, I got them.
Cigars?
No.
Game bag?
No.
Hunting license?
No. Oh, doggone it. It was something that any guy out duck hunting would need. Now, what the dickens...
Shotgun?
Shotgun, that's it. Much obliged, Molly.
You say Beulah's putting up the lunch, huh?
Yeah, I told her all about it and where we're going, and she offered to stay tonight and put up the lunch. I'll see how she's coming out. Oh, Beulah! Oh, Beulah!
Somebody bleeding for Beulah?
Well, how are you coming along with the Bird Banger's banquet, Beulah?
Oh, if you mean the duck dodger delicatessen, ma'am, I'm coming along okay. Yes, and I'm down to the K's on Mr. McGee's list of stuff.
Hey, what did I ask for that begins with K?
Case of root beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're really intelligent not to get yourself included this here expedition, ma'am. Getting up at 3 a.m. in the morning is foul enough without going after duck.
But I am going, Beulah.
Oh, you poor dog. Mr. McGee, what for you want to drag that little gal out of that old mud swamp for? She ain't got no business Daniel Boone doggling around no duck boat.
Why, that's a lot of nonsense, Beulah. She'll love it. Why, my gosh, it'll be worth it just to see the glorious sunrise.
Sunrise over Sweeney Swamp. Now, there is a postcard that would remain unbought in any drugstore.
I don't know how I got finessed into it, Beulah, but you know Mr. McGee. He could talk the leaves off a major.
She's never been duck hunting, Beulah. Next year, I'll bet we have to tie her up to keep her home. It gets into the blood.
Yes, and so do pneumonia.
I'll be all right, Beulah. I might even enjoy it. A far-fetched possibility if I ever heard one.
You wait, Molly. Once you get snuggled, nestled down in that old duck blind. Incidentally, Beulah, you know how to make a duck blind?
No,
sir. Tie a handkerchief around his head.
Yeah, but how are you going to get close enough to... Oh, I can see it make a duck blind. Love that man.
Well, I suppose we better turn in, Molly. It's almost 9 o'clock, so if we get up at 3, that gives us a good 12 hours sleep.
12 hours?
6 for you and 6 for me.
See, what time do you think we'll be back tomorrow?
Oh, around noon or 12:30 at the latest. Well, come on, Molly.
All right, dearie. McGee, wake up.
I don't want to go to school today, Mommy.
McGee, wake up. Wake up now.
Why don't somebody answer the phone?
That isn't the phone. That's the alarm clock. Now, don't go back to sleep. Dr. Gamble will be here any minute.
What for? Am I sick?
No. We're going duck hunting this morning, remember?
Oh, yeah, duck hunting. Yeah, it might be fun. Let's just go, too.
We are going.
Who is?
Dr. Gamble.
Oh, that's a good idea. You call him up and ask him while I take a little nap, Molly.
Now, McGee, wake up. Come on now. Open those sleepy little eyes.
What's the matter with that dad-ratted clock? I shut it off once.
That isn't the clock. That's the telephone. Run down and answer.
If we keep quiet, maybe they'll go away.
McGee. Come on now, run down and answer the telephone.
I did shut it off once.
That was the clock. Come on now, get going. I'll start getting dressed.
Okay, where's my slippers? Oh, here they are. Oh, I'm coming. Hello,
Fibber. Harlow Wilcox. What's the matter? Anything serious?
No, why?
Well, I just got in from a late sales meeting and found a message to call you on an urgent matter. Sorry to call you at 3 a.m., but I was worried. What's it about?
Oh, I called last night. See if I want to go duck hunting with Doc and me.
going out to Sweeney Swamp. About 20 minutes.
Sweeney Swamp? Is that that marshland that runs along that stretch of woods?
Yeah, that's the place, Junior. Full of ducks. Lots of sport. Ducks commit suicide and climb in your bag.
You want to go?
Not out there, pal. I can't stand going through those woods.
Why?
What do you mean, why? You expect me to enjoy the sight of all those beautiful oaks and maples and birches and elms standing there exposed to the weather and unprotected by even so much as a thin film of Johnson's wax?
Yeah. Yeah, you get a lot of ducks. That's a good place.
You know what it does to me, pal, to see a neglected piece of fine wood when it could so easily be protected with a wax finish. And when I say wax finish, I mean Johnson's wax, of course, which is the finest.
Hold the phone, Junior. There's been a nasty accident. I mean, there's somebody at the door.
Oh, well, I didn't intend to keep you waiting. I just wanted to say that with Johnson's wax...
As the guy says, when the king of the cannibals ate one of his people, that guy's sure full of his subject. Come in.
Oh, hi, Doc.
Hello, Droopy. Why aren't you dressed? You told me 7 times to be here at 3 a.m. sharp, and here I find you slopping around in a purple bathrobe like a dopey little somnambulist.
Don't you call me a somnambulist, you big tonsil snatcher. Fine lot of appreciation I get from you. Here I find 3 boxes of shotgun shells when they're scarcer than a sailor's pockets. And make a private deal with old man Sweeney for a private shooting ground, and you get antsy pants because I ain't sitting on the curbstone waiting for you.
Why, you biological misfit. The only engagement you ever kept in your life was with the stork, and that trip wasn't really necessary. Get me up in the middle of the night to go fishing with... Where's Molly?
She's getting dressed, Doc. I had to come down and answer the phone.
McGee, if I ever write my memoirs, and I probably will because every doctor is a frustrated author, the censors will never pass the part where I let you talk me into going duck hunting.
I talked you into it?
Yeah.
Why, you begged me to go. You said you liked to shoot ducks because they were so much like people.
They are, too. Every time they open their bills, they squawk. Why I ever let myself
well,
be
Well, good morning, Doctor.
Oh, hello, my dear. Why don't you whip up a fast pot of java while Millard the Mallard gets out of that Kingfish Levinsky bathrobe?
That I will, Doctor, that I will. Go on, McGee, go get dressed.
Okay, I'm coming. I'm going. You pack the stuff in the car, Doc. I'll be down before you can
see. McGee, the telephone's off the hook.
Oh, I'll hang it up, Molly. Go get your pants on, pixie puss.
Okay.
Say, who on earth could be calling us at this hour of the morning?
Search me, but they probably hung up for now. Hello? Hello.
And furthermore, pal, to drive through those wet, dripping woods and think how just one simple coat of Johnson's wax would protect and preserve them against...
Who was it, Doctor?
The Finnish ambassador. Well, where's that coffee, madam? Time's a-wasting.
Goodness, you know where you're going, McGee. It's as dark as the inside of a horse.
Don't worry, baby. I'll know the place all right. I blazed a big tree where the headlights would pick it out.
You would chop a hole in a tree, you little vandal.
What?
You're one of those people who travel around carving their initials on Mount Vernon. Every time you see a national monument, you start yelling, "Leave us deface it."
Is that so? Well, yeah. Hey, here's the place, Doctor. Huh? Pull off the road.
Pull off the road was superfluous advice, dearie. Most of that road was pulled off years ago.
I hope the Eagle Scout here knows where we are. Personally, I'm loster than I've ever been in my life.
Don't worry, kids. I know what I'm doing. You carry the lunch, Molly. I and Doc will bring the other stuff.
All right. I hope those shotguns are not loaded.
Why, certainly they're not loaded. We carry them with their breeches open, if you'll pardon the expression. Ready, Doc?
Lead on, McDuff. I got the stuff. Which way do we go?
North, northeast, till we come to a big boulder. Then due west to the hollow stump, and then southeast by east till we stumble over a root. Then go straight north.
Well, go ahead. Get started.
Yeah. I'm feeling for moss on this tree, so I'll know which way is north. Ah, here's...
Let go of my legs, stupid.
Excuse me, Doc. I thought you were a stump. Ah, here we are. Now stay close to me, or you might get lost. I can't see my hand in front of my face.
Take it out of your pocket.
Huh? Oh. Yeah, now I can see it. Well, come on, follow me.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go.
Hey, cut it out, Molly. You'll scare the ducks. I'll have to teach you about woodcraft, Molly.
Yeah.
The first thing you got to know is how to know directions in the woods. Hand me your compass, Doc.
I haven't got a compass. Where's yours?
Well, I haven't got one either. Well, anyway...
Here's a compass. Oh. I just thought it might come in handy.
Oh. Anyway, you'll probably be pretty green at this outdoor stuff for a while, Molly. Pretty dumb about it. But after you get some experience... Hey, Doc, you got a cigar?
No, never thought to bring any.
My gosh, neither did I.
I did.
Huh?
Here's five apiece for you.
Thanks, Molly.
Now, what were you saying, McGee?
I was saying that proper equipment is the main thing to outdoor life. Just watch what I do and give me a match, Doc.
I haven't got a match, McGee.
Here's a box of matches.
As I was saying, Molly, you'll probably feel pretty useless till you catch on to things. You'll pick up a lot of knowledge, like how a duck always lands with the water with the wind behind him.
McGee, he lands with the wind in front of him.
Oh, certainly.
Well, what did I say, behind him? Well, I'm sorry. Anyway, hey, is this the big boulder where we turn?
How would I know? I'm a stranger here myself.
Turn your flashlight on it.
I haven't got a flashlight.
Here, use mine.
Oh. Thanks. Yep, this is the place. Now we turn right.
Left.
Oh, yes, left. Just follow me, Doc, and don't be nervous. We won't let you get lost.
You mean she won't let us get lost?
I was lost. Don't you worry, Doc. I know these woods like the back of my hand.
You must have a pair of odd gloves on.
Now, you better be quiet, folks. Don't want to scare the ducks.
McGee?
Huh?
Would it be asking too much of you to keep the muzzle of that shotgun out of my left eye?
He said it wasn't loaded, Doctor.
Yes, I know. And I wish I had 50 cents for every slug I've dug out of people who said the same thing.
Shh. Be quiet now. We're almost there. Whoops! We are there.
So, this is a duck blind, huh?
Yes, sir, and a good one, too, by George. And not 100 within 10 miles of us. Thanks to me.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You see, I found this place myself and got the use of it exclusive. Well, we better load up, Doc. Hand me the shells.
Hand you the shells? You're the one that was bringing the shells.
Oh, my gosh, the shells. What did I do with the shells?
Oh,
this is awful. 17 miles from
here,
home.
Here, McGee, I brought them. You left them on the hall table.
Oh, well, thanks, kid. Here, Doc, take a shell.
Thanks. Ought to be sunrise any minute now. My nose is turning pink.
That particular sunrise has lasted 30 years. Hey, do I hear ducks? Listen.
That's one on you, McGee. They're traveling south by train this year.
No. I heard ducks. Listen.
Ducks, all right, if I ever heard one, and I don't think I ever did.
It's light enough to shoot by, too. I'll try my duck call.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, can't find my duck call. I'd have swore I had it in my left pants pocket.
Here it is, dearie. You left it in the car, and I brought it.
Oh, thanks. Now get ready to shoot when I call him, Doc.
Mm-hmm. McGee, is your hunting license good for hummingbirds?
Must have got some lint into it. I'll try it again.
You have quite a repertoire in that thing, McGee. Can you play the web-foot boogie?
No. We won't need it anyway. Look out there. There's thousands of ducks.
Well, why don't you start shooting?
You can't shoot them till they get off the water, Molly. That isn't sporting.
No, we'll get plenty. Don't worry. 10,000 ducks and just the two of us shooting. I'll match you for the first shot, Doc.
Okay, you got a coin?
No, I haven't. Haven't you?
Neither have I, no.
I have. Here, McGee.
Call it now, Doc. I'm flipping.
Head.
Uh-oh, threw too far. Well, you take the first shot, Doc. I don't want to get my limit too quick.
Okay, and before I forget it, McGee, accept my profound apologies for doubting your word. This is really exclusive.
Oh, sure it is. I know what I'm doing. Not a soul within 10 miles, and here...
Look, boys, they're right.
One side, McGee, while I...
Don't. Who's that?
Somebody down that way, about 100 feet, McGee.
He's got a lot of nerve busting into our private hunting preserve.
Hey.
Oh, there goes the duck.
Blast you, McGee. You said we had...
yourself. Jack Rabbit, can I help you? Queenie called me out.
Run for your lives, boys. We'll all be here.
Hey, let's get out of here.
Wouldn't it be too bad if you still had to scrub your linoleum floors to keep them presentable? Those old Saturday down on the hands and knees days are gone and fortunately almost forgotten. Linoleum is better cared for. It's more beautiful, lasts much longer, and you save yourself hours of work. Thanks to Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat. There's no rubbing or buffing with Glow Coat. You simply apply and let dry. The tough film protects the surface against dirt and wear, brings out the beauty of the linoleum colors and patterns. And because it's made by the makers of Johnson's Wax, you can always count on the uniform high quality and service of Johnson's Glow Coat.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to speak a moment to our friends in Canada and wish them every success in their 7th Victory War Loan Drive. We know you Canadians will maintain your wonderful record for following through with individual purchases of Victory Bonds.
History has shown that when Canada fights for a cause, the idea of failure is like the border between our two countries.
Purely imaginary. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Arlo Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber McGee and Molly on Tuned To Yesterday from the 31st of October, 1944 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of comedy on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonia. It's been a pleasure.